Hey guys, Seth and Tony back for Southwest Ohio Full Court Press. And this is now episode 5 in our local legends series that we've been doing. And up for you this week, we've got, again, another local legend. We've got former Wright State Raider and former Butler Aviator, A.J. Packer.
Yeah, we're going to talk with A.J. today about his time with the Aviators. His wonderful career with Wright State, where he had a lot of success, and then what he's been up to since graduation, and if he's playing professionally now. So with that, let's go ahead and get started.
Quick. All right, guys. So we've got with us today A.J. Packer, former Butler Aviator and Wright State Raider. At the time he graduated, and even still, Wright State's all-time leader in games played. So AJ certainly has gone around the block in terms of his basketball career, and we're very glad to have him with us today. So AJ, thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me.
Anytime. So we'll go ahead and get started with let's start with your high school career, AJ. Walk us through just your time at Vandalia Butler. Some of the highlights from the season as, at a team level and then as an individual level.
Yeah, so when I was a freshman, there was talks of me playing, JV and varsity, and I played freshman, and we had a really great coach my freshman year, and I started to play some minutes on JV, and that didn't go so well for some people. And so I kind of just stayed on freshman the majority of my year. I had a great coach. He just, continued to tell me just to continue to work, and, next year you'll be on varsity. And then from there on out, I started every other game from my sophomore year to my senior year. So I played 3 years of varsity. We were not the greatest team my first 2 years. We just didn't have – we had some talent. We just didn't have – I don't know what it was. We just couldn't put it together. And then we got a new coach my senior year, Jeff Kreil, and we had a lot of young talent. And we had a really good senior year. My time at Butler was great, man. The only problem was I actually never won a high school playoff game. We were like my senior year, we were like 15-5, I think, and we got a first round bye in the playoffs. And we ended up playing Northmont in the second round of the playoffs. And I've known Coach Brown like my whole life when he was at Northmont, and he decided to box and won me the whole game. And we ended up losing. So that's kind of how my high school year ended. But it was good, man. I really enjoyed my time at Butler, man.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, I think even with the box and one, you still dropped 21 on them. So not overall your fault.
I remember we had a lot of young guys, and it was kind of their first experience playing under the big lights at UD Arena. And I think, we just didn't handle it well. But, yeah. I mean, overall, we had a good team, and I had a great senior year.
That's awesome. Cool. So then let's talk a little bit about, or if you don't mind, talk a little bit about your experience with the recruiting process, teams that might have reached out to you or shown interest, and then ultimately why you ended up going to Wright State.
Yeah, so I grew up an Indiana basketball fan. My dad was a huge, huge Bobby Knight guy. I grew up being a Hoosier, and I actually went on an unofficial visit there. And I think that was probably the dream school to go to at the time, and they just never ended up pulling on an offer. And then one of the other big schools I got recruited by was Notre Dame showed some interest. And then I went to Penn State to Elite Camp. There was some interest there, and I just remember me and my dad went to Penn State. We went there for the Elite Camp, and I went there, and I don't know if I ever touched the ball when we were playing 5-on-5, and then I never heard from Penn State again. So my Elite Camp didn't go great at Penn State. And then, I pretty much had offers, a lot of mid-major schools, a lot of Horizon League, a lot of MAC. a lot of Ivy League schools. But the final kind of decision was, it was between like Wright State and Bowling Green were some of the last two. And, you know, I just kind of, I went to Wright State and, I had great contact with Coach Donlin all throughout high school and Coach Brownell too a little bit. But Coach Donlin was definitely probably the guy that recruited me the most. And then I took a visit and I met all the guys and the facilities were great. And I just decided, that was the right place for me.
I'm curious too, since you mentioned Coach Brown, and obviously for people that may not know this, Coach Brown was actually the basketball coach at Wright State before he was the coach at Northmont. Did Coach Brown have any sort of influence or try to persuade you either towards the, going to Wright State, knowing he'd be calling games with you?
No, he never really pursued me. It's actually funny. I don't remember exactly how the first contact came in between me and Coach Brown, but I used to always go to the – he used to always, like, invite me to his camps, and I always used to go to, like, the Northmont High School camps, and I always used to wear all my Butler stuff, and I remember always, winning all the awards when I was younger, and I would always, like, go up on stage and wear all my Butler stuff, and some of the kids would boo me and stuff. He always just kind of told me just to just make the best decision for me, and we've obviously stayed close throughout the years, considering that you know he was a coach at Wright State, and now he continues to call games forward and everything. So he didn't persuade me in any way, but I'm sure he was pretty happy when I decided to go there.
Yeah, especially after your 21 point, like Seth said, 21 points on his box of one. I'm sure he was definitely impressed with you at that point.
Yeah, well, you got the win, and they got the move on.
Yeah, so.
Unfortunately, I think it worked.
Right, right.
So that then, obviously, you land at Wright State, and freshman and sophomore year, you get some minutes. Talk to us a little bit about that transition from the high school game to the Division I level, you know, struggles or things that you might have had to work through. You know, just talk to us a little bit about that process in the early years at Wright State.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I look back at pictures right now, as me as a freshman, I mean, I was a baby. I was so thin, you could tell how young I was. And I obviously had a lot of skills for a good skill set. And so I was able to get some minutes to be able to play and contribute. But, you know, I was just so thin, and I just really needed to add a lot of weight and just get, you know, familiar with the physicality and the, you know, the pace of the game at a college level. Very different from a high school game. And also, Coach Donlin is probably the best. He's one of the best defensive coaches in the whole country. And just all the stuff that I had to learn defensively, it was a huge, it was kind of overwhelming a little bit my first year. But I mean, now when I look back at it, you know, all the things that I know now, it was great. But yeah, I started to play a little more as a sophomore. But I remember my sophomore year, I would get in foul trouble. That was my biggest thing. I was continuing to get better. But then my sophomore year, I would get in foul trouble in a lot of games. And I remember one of our assistant coaches used to tell me that I used to foul the scorekeeper when I would check into the game. So that was my biggest problem my sophomore year, was just trying to stay out of foul trouble, really, was the biggest problem.
Just saying, moving with a little bigger frame, I mean – I think at least from what we had, it looks like, I mean, you added 25 pounds to your frame moving, so that certainly was an adjustment.
Yeah, for sure. And I think one of the biggest kind of problems with me was they really just – coaches wanted to add weight to me. Mm-hmm. And I think because I was so thin, he didn't really care kind of what it was. He just wanted to get like a number on me. And I don't even remember what it was at the time, but they kind of just wanted to add weight to get to a number. And then kind of like my senior year was really when like I personally, and then obviously through my professional career, but I really like, I took an interest in like eating healthy and seeing what it did for my body and seeing the changes that it made in my body, and it's I think it's really helped me throughout, you know, kind of my senior year, but mainly a lot of the pro. I think it's helped a lot. And it's just kind of something that I just didn't know when I was younger, and I kind of was just supposed to be at like a certain weight, and I don't know if that was the right weight or the right type of weight for me to play the best that I could.
Yeah, certainly. So then, and then you go into your, you know, your junior and senior years, your final 2 years at Wright State. You know, you start, I mean, minutes stayed the same, you know, pretty much, pretty consistently. I think you played one more minute junior year than sophomore year, but you started a few more games. And then as a senior, you started pretty much every game. So talk about that transition a little bit, and then I know you talked about the, you know, just the body style and the physical changes that you went through, and if that was the determining factor, or if there were other pieces to the puzzle that really came around that got you to that point.
Oh yeah, there was a lot of people like don't even know, basically outside of like my family, friends, and you know obviously my teammates, but I would say it was early, maybe like the second or third game of my junior year, we found out I had a stress fracture in my foot. And okay. I had a stress fracture in my foot, and you know, we basically got to the point where we tried everything we could, like for basically my whole junior year. I wore a boot anytime I wasn't sleeping or practicing. Mm-hmm. And then like practice wise, like we would pretty much do like 2 days before every game, I would like get some shots up and move and stuff like that. And then the day before every game, I would, you know, get in and do the plans and everything we needed to do. But yeah, I mean, I basically played an entire season with a stress fracture my junior year. Mm. And we got to the point, where Coach Donlin, he pulled me into his office, and it was like, you know, we're coming up on like the last date to where if you want, you can redshirt. And we kind of had a long talk about, you know, what kind of we were thinking, what he was thinking, and what I was thinking. And but the thing that stuck with me the most was, you know, he basically just told me that it's really up to you. You have to make the best decision for yourself and for your career. But I think that if you decide that you want to continue to play, I think we can make it to the championship. And we went to the Horizon League championship, so he was right in that aspect. But I mean, I don't know what would have been the correct thing to do. But I mean, I think everything works out for a reason, and you know, we've made it to the Horizon League championship game. So,
well, junior year, talking about the Horizon League championship, yeah, junior year, you guys go to Valparaiso, one of the top programs in the Horizon League the last several years before they left for the Missouri Valley. You guys lose a tough game to them, and then senior year, you get to play in the Horizon League championship on the Nutter Center against a pesky Milwaukee team that, after splitting the regular season, you guys unfortunately struggled a bit in that championship and ultimately lost that matchup. But talk about being in those championship games, and especially senior year, being on your home floor, just some of the feelings and just what your thoughts were of making it that far.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, for me as a kid, it was always, I mean, you know, I watched basketball my entire life. Now, I played a lot of other sports growing up, but it was always basketball for me. And I always wanted to play in the NCAA tournament. It was always a dream of mine to play in the NCAA tournament. And, you know, that junior year, I remember we just beat Detroit, who had just so much talent on their team in the semifinals that year. We beat Detroit, and, you know, Valpo was obviously the home team, and they were playing, I think they were playing Green Bay that night, if I remember correctly, but we went and we were eating dinner, and the coaches told us, you know, we're not allowed to watch the game and stuff, and we went and had dinner, and we were with some of the other assistants that didn't stay and watch the game. And finally, they turned the game on at the end, and I'm pretty sure Ryan Brokoff hit like this unreal buzzer beater, because we thought we were going to come back to the Nutter Center for the championship game. and then broke off hits like an unbelievable buzzer beater to take them into the finals. And I remember we were up about 6 with 5 to go in that game, and you know, they were just super talented. That team was really good. You know, Brokaw was their main piece, but they had a big center named Ben Wick, and then they had a lot of other good players around them, and they were just, you know, a well-coached team, good team. And so that was obviously a tough win to end that year. And, you know, my senior year, it was kind of the same thing. I mean, Green Bay was the main host that year, and Milwaukee kind of went in and beat them, and we actually beat them pretty good at home that year during the regular season. And I mean, historically, Wright State has like barely ever won in Milwaukee, so I know we lost that year. I think I won like one time in 4 years in Milwaukee, but you know, we had to come back and play them, and it was just a team that, you know, I think we were better then, but they were just playing great at that time, and they still had a lot of great players, and they were just kind of catching fire at the right time. And I remember not being able to sleep like days before the game, because the Horizon League is always in the past, it was like you played the final game or the semifinal game on like a Saturday, and then I don't think the championship was until like Tuesday night. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you kind of had 2 days in between just to kind of prepare and get ready. And I remember coming back home, you know, we were at the Nutter Center, and I just couldn't sleep. Just thinking about everything, thinking about the game, and obviously playing in front of our home fans and on the Nutter Center floor. It was a tough way to end my senior year, but like I've said before, I think everything happens for a reason. It's just kind of the way that things worked out.
Yeah.
Well, just like with your time at Butler, you know, lost your last game, but really had a great statistical game. I mean, that championship against Milwaukee, you led the team in scoring. You were third on the team in rebounds that game. I mean, definitely put your heart on the floor. And I know Seth and I were, you know, obviously being Wright State alumni and being at that game, you know, it was just great being able to see, you know, Wright State get to host a game. And, you know, like you said, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And that's just, you got to deal with the cards that you're dealt sometimes.
Yeah, for sure. I remember they pulled like normally, you know, the way things they have it, there's, you know, kind of the horseshoe aspect of the Nutter Center, but the other side, they ended up putting like a bunch of stands. And yeah, there was a lot of students there, and I mean, I swear we probably had 8,000 or 9,000.
Yeah. They took out the little normal eating decks and brought in the temporary stands for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I still remember, you know, a lot of different plays and different things from the game. And mm-hmm. I just remember they had a guard, Aaron, and I remember he caught like a skip pass in transition, and it bounced off his foot, and he picked it up, and he shot a three from about NBA range in transition mm-hmm. with either Matt or Kendall just right in his face, and he just drilled it. And it was just that's just kind of like the lasting memory I have of that game. It's just, I think we were a better team. They still had a lot of good players, but it was just their time of the year and their night.
Yeah. Yep. So, and that's that. I mean, you guys wrap up then, you know, you have a couple more games, but then that wrapped up your Wright State career. So talk to us a little bit about what you've done since. You know, it's been a couple of years. Obviously, you've played some professional ball, but talk to us a little bit about that journey and the ride you've gone on from that perspective.
Yeah, so when I got done with Wright State, you know, Coach Allen and some of the other coaches and just other agents, you know, came in contact with me. And I remember I flew up to Boston to work out for an agency, and there was about 5 NBA teams there. And it was a great experience for me, and I ended up signing with a different agency, and we found a good spot for me in Switzerland to where I could kind of just adjust to the European life and the style of play, and still have you know, put me in a good position to play well. And so I played well in Switzerland, and then I moved on to Italy, and Italy has definitely been the home for me, the home base in my 6 years professionally. I played there for 4 years, and you know, I've moved around throughout the country and throughout Europe a little bit, but I've definitely spent the majority of my career in Italy, and you know, there's a lot of great things about it that I love a lot.
Well, and then obviously just the opportunity to continue playing the game certainly is, and play it at a high level. That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told me when I was growing up in Bandai that, you know, I'd be able to travel all across the U.S. to play college basketball and then to travel all across the world and go to all the different places that I've been, I would have told you you're crazy, but it's been awesome.
Absolutely. So, AJ, just to kind of wrap up here, last thing I want to ask you about is, you know, you talked about your journey through the recruitment process. What advice would you give to a high school prospect that's, you know, going through the recruiting process currently? And obviously with the coronavirus right now, times are different. But, you know, if this were not an issue, you know, what advice would you give to someone wanting to play college basketball after they graduate from high school?
I think the biggest thing that you can just take away from my career, what I would want to tell somebody is like, you know, there's no point at which you can't continue to get better. You know, I think I was a good high school player. I don't think I was a great high school player, but I think I was a better college player than I was a high school player. And again, I don't think I was the greatest college player ever. I was a good player, but I think I'm even a better pro than I was a college player. So I just continue to work on my game and continue to get better and continue to change, you know, like I've said, my diet and some different things and aspects of that part of my career and my life and different things. And I don't think there's a level to where you can stop getting better. I think there's always a point where you continue to work. And so, you know, if you're a high school kid getting recruited by, you know, maybe you're not getting recruited right now, you can still continue to get better and get recruited. Or if you're getting recruited by some Division II or Division III schools, you can continue to get better and try and go for some Division I and, you know, continue on like that. But I think that's the biggest thing that people can take away from my career is I just continue to get better.
Awesome. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the time we had set aside. You know, we want to thank you for taking time out of your day to talk with us and share your journey, your story, your advice. So I know I'm extremely grateful for the opportunity to pick your brain a little bit.
As am I. Absolutely. Yeah, we, you know, being Wright State students, got to watch you play all 4 years at Wright State and you know, have a great career there. And we're glad to hear that you were able to make it to the professional level. And again, you know, echoing Seth's comments, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
No, man, anytime you guys want to have me back, I'd be more than happy to do it. I appreciate all the support from Wright State and continue now. I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, AJ.
All right. Got, you know, talk to you later.
All right, guys, so that was our interview with AJ Packer. Former Vandalia Butler standout, Wright State Raider standout, who has transcended that collegiate game and made it to the ultimate level of playing professional ball, being paid to do what he loves, and to sustain a career that's still continuing today, Tony.
Absolutely. I love picking his brain on, especially the overseas. You know, he's our first one in our Legend series that has gone on to play professional overseas. And obviously we've got guys like Ryan Mikesell and Zarius Williams that are going to plan to pursue a professional career. But Packer to actually have a career started and succeed where he has, and not just in one place, like you said, starting in Switzerland, then getting into Italy, being able to get around and make his name known across Europe. And, you know, my biggest takeaway, Seth, is, you know, AJ had a lot to, at the very end, echoing what we heard from Zarius Williams last week, which was, you know, it doesn't matter what level, whether it's a D2, D3, or D1, you know, if you're willing to work hard, you're willing to put in those extra hours to get better, you know, it'll pay off eventually. So, you know, take it from AJ, you know, being a local kid, having a good high school career, succeeding at the high school level, then going to a local college and really making his name known, as you said, at Wright State.
Yeah, and my big takeaway was kind of what he said. You know, he didn't necessarily consider himself a great high school player, although everyone would say he was a very good high school basketball player. You know, he got to the collegiate level, worked hard for a number of years, fought through some injuries, ultimately had a huge impact at Wright State, but again, wouldn't consider himself a great college basketball player, but a good basketball player. And now that he's professionally, you know, playing professionally, you know, at each stage of his game, he's done what it takes, you know, obviously mentally to continue the intensity and the drive that it takes to do that, but physically as well, you know, making the changes to his body during his collegiate career, changing some of those eating habits and things that that have paid off for him in the long run, you know, to make it to the professional level. So it's not, the journey's not, there's not one single thing you can ever point to along the journey. You know, you've got to have the skill, you've got to have the talent, you know, you've got to be blessed to some degree to make it to a professional level, but none of it comes without hard work, without sacrifice, you know, without taking whatever route it takes. You know, and I'm sure AJ still, even now, is working on, you know, on continuing his career and hoping to say one day, you know, he would say he was a, you know, wouldn't say he was a great overseas basketball player. He'd say he was a good overseas basketball player. And I'm sure ultimately he wants to be able to add, you know, add the NBA to that list, you know, which is still a very real possibility. But none of that's going to come without the hard work and the effort that he's sustained now at the high school, collegiate, and professional level.
Well said, Seth. Well said.
So again, we want to thank AJ for his time. Again, he's got you know, a lot on his plate right now and is still working hard. So AJ, thank you. You know, we wish you the best of luck in your continued journey, and still watch very interested to see where that takes you and where you ultimately end up. But we wish you all the best in all of your continued adventures.
Absolutely. And that'll do it for this episode today for me and Seth. Tune in later this week. We will have another episode coming at you as we continue our local legend series.
Yeah, and be teasing potentially a teammate of AJ's for those of you who might still be trying to figure out where we're going next. So till then, we'll talk to you next time.
Take it easy, guys.